I want to release what I believe God is saying for the year of 2025. Every year since the inception of this church, I have released a word with much accuracy. And we have seen that word fulfilled within the 365. And this year was a leap year, 2024, so it was 366 days. But within 365 days, we have seen that word fulfilled. So I want to release that word tonight to the church. I need you to listen to me. I need you to hear me. If you want to document it, you can do that. If you want to record it, you can do that. It'll take me just about a minute and a half to release it in this house. This word is being released here at KICC for our church, our members, and for those of you that have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church at large. Here is what the word of the Lord said to me this week. This year will be one of the greatest change for the body of Christ. Imperfection will be exposed. I believe the church will awaken to its imperfection and realize that striving for perfection without embracing the grace of God will be futile. Those who thought that they can walk the tightrope of religion perfectly, relying on self-discipline and willpower, will experience a great fall. And listen carefully. They will lose their balance and fall from their pride. In the pain of falling, an awakening will begin. This is what God said. An awakening will begin all over the world. Many will begin to cry out for the grace of God. There will be a move from striving to surrender, from self-reliance to dependence on Him. And in that surrender, God's grace will flow and restore all that we have lost. And everybody said, amen. Amen. They've recorded it. They're going to pop it up online on our webpage for this year. But that's what I felt the Lord saying, that our religiosity will fail us. Our sense of perfection will abandon us. We will soon realize that if we do not depend upon the Lord, our efforts cannot keep us. This is the hour we're living in where the enemy will come in with such a force, such a vigor, that we are going to have to lean more on the Lord and not on ourselves. Amen? That sounds just about right to me. Amen. Amen. If you got your Bibles tonight, I want to release a word in this house for 2025 that I believe will challenge you and perhaps jolt you a bit into a better place in your walk with God. Pastor Emmanuel, so good to have you and your family here tonight. Where is he? He's preaching? Well, hey, family, welcome to have you. I'm glad you're here tonight. I saw his family, so I figured he's here. If you got your Bibles tonight, would you turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19? 1 Kings chapter 19. And I'm going to be reading from verse 19 to 21. I've decided tonight I'm going to use the NIV. It just seems so much clearer to understand when I read it this week. When you found it, would you say amen? Amen. Simeon, you need to give me notice at least 5 to 10 minutes before, amen? Get me to come down, all right? Thank you. Here's what the word of the Lord said. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. Whose phone is that? And he himself was driving the 12th pier. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak, the King James says mantle, around him. And Elisha left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said. And then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. And everybody said amen. Would you touch somebody tonight and tell him it's time to move forward? Come on, not somebody else on the other side. Tell him it's time to move forward. Let me give you a little backstory about what's happening here in the text tonight. The story of Elijah and Elisha is an exciting story of a transition that God is making between an old prophet whose days are coming to an end and a new man of God on the scene. Elijah is coming to the end of his ministry. His time is up. His days are numbered. Elijah was one of the most iconic prophets of the Old Testament. He ministered during a time when Israel was in tremendous spiritual decay. King Ahab and his queen Jezebel had caused the nation of Israel to fall away from the Lord. They had caused Israel to commit gross idolatry. But because of Elijah's fierce, and I mean bold confrontation and radical faith, God moved mightily through that man of God to begin to change this nation back from darkness to light. Everybody say bold confrontation and great faith. It's important for you to understand that when you see certain people with confrontational skills, to let them be. Let them be. They can do things that the average person cannot. The weak, and I'm not just saying weak in muscle, I'm talking about weak in character. There are some people who are wired with bold confrontational skills. And those are actually gifts from God. Elijah the prophet had it. And some of you are like Elijah in here tonight. And this Elijah with this bold confrontational skill and bold faith was able to shut down the prophets of Baal. Very few people can go into the midst of 400 wailing prophets with anger and wipe them out. Some of us are even afraid to go across the street and talk to our neighbor. Forget going to 400 prophets of Baal. Hello, somebody. Talk to me. And so you have to understand these giftings that is upon this mighty man of God. It was God who uses our abilities, our personalities, just the way you are wired tonight. God has a job for you. If you are passive, God's got a job for you. If you are aggressive and passionate, God's got a job for you. If you're quiet and you like to read books, God's got a job for you. Are you hearing me tonight? Don't count yourself out of the usability of God tonight. Hear me. At some point in Elijah's confrontation with Jezebel, tension began to rise. And that tension caused Jezebel to send a threat out. She was angry. I ought to use a different word. She was mad as hell. And she sent a threat and she said, I'm going to kill you. Tomorrow you're dead. And my man, he got, all of a sudden, he got perturbed. And he decided he was going to flee to the wilderness and hang out there for a while. And while he was in the wilderness, the Bible told us that he began to cry out to God. And he began to express his exhaustion and his desire to give up. He began to whine and complain, said, God, I can't do this anymore. I can't go and face her. And so here I want you to look at verse 15 and 16 of 1 Kings. And God met him there in the wilderness, and God began to minister to him. I want to tell you something here tonight. God always has a plan when you give up. Don't be fooled. Your giving up doesn't meet God unprepared. God instructed Elijah in verse 15 and 16, and he said to him, he said, look, Elijah, I already know what to do. Go and anoint Hazael as king of Aram, and go and anoint Jehu as king of Israel. And oh, by the way, I got an Elisha who's going to take your place. I already have a man in mind that's going to take your place. You see, God doesn't waste time. God doesn't waste time. We are a people like to play with time, but not God. God has a plan for this earth. He has a redemptive plan. And whether you get on board or not, God's got a people that will do that job. You got to hear me. You may not want to do that job, but God's got people who want to do it. He might come knocking at your door tonight and say, will you do that for me? Will you go here for me? Will you do this for me? And you might say, well, look, I got to go bury my daddy. I got to go to my workplace. I got to do this. I got to bake a cake. And God come knocking somebody else's door. He's not going to wait on you. You got to hear what I'm about to tell you. He's not going to wait on you. Everybody say, time waits on no man. Amen. While you and I are here tonight, the clock is ticking all over the world. It isn't that God is insensitive and somehow he wants to get rid of Elijah and replace him with the new guy. That's not what God wants to do. Not at all. There are times when the guard has to change. Write it down. There are times when the guard has to change. One day, this old guard will have to change. There's only so much I can do. There's only so much you can do. There are times in life when the guard has to change. The old guard, Elijah, is not able to fight anymore. He's complaining to God. He's tired. He doesn't have the strength anymore to keep up with the fight of spiritual warfare. He's tired, man. He's crying in the wilderness. And God says, okay, son, I hear you, but I got me an Elijah now. Elijah doesn't have the fight left. He can't move forward in the plan of God. He's come to the end of his strength. And you know, it's important for us to recognize when we've come to the end of ourselves, when we've come to the end of our strength, when we can't go forward by ourselves anymore. It's important that you come to God in those days when you realize you can't do what you used to do anymore. But thank God for Elijah, everybody. I said, thank God for Elijah. He had his day. He was a mighty man of God, not forgotten, a great man of God. But there's work that still needs to be done. And somebody has to keep moving forward. Not somebody and tell him. Somebody has to keep moving forward. Somebody has to keep moving forward. When you see me down, you should know that somebody has to keep moving forward. And that's my son. There is an enemy that still needs to be fought. There are territories that still need to be conquered. There are giants that still need to be subdued. There are dragons that still need to be slain. There is the sick that still needs to be healed. The blind that still needs to see. Families still needs to be restored. Are you getting it tonight? Elijah doesn't mean the end of God. And Elijah doesn't mean the end of needs. It doesn't mean that the work stops when a man stops. It doesn't mean that when you give up, things come to a standstill. When you give up and when you walk away from ministry and when you can't do it anymore, there is still ministry to be done. And God still needs people to move forward. Hello, somebody. God already had an Elisha in mind. I've learned something in life. Moving forward is not easy. Nudge somebody and say, moving forward is not easy. Do you know how hard it is to move past an offense? Talk to me, somebody. Do you know how hard it is to move past poverty? Do you know how hard it is to move past your past? Talk to me, somebody. Moving forward is not easy. Sometimes we have the inclination to hold on to what is familiar. Recently, I was watching a movie of three siblings. Their father was a king, and they were defending the land. There was a sister and two brothers in this family. And there was a great battle in the land. The sister and, of course, the older brother decided that they were going to get themselves a young, vibrant, energetic horse to ride. Something a bit fast. Something with a little bit more stamina. The youngest brother, of course, however, chose to ride Old Faithful. He said, oh, I got me a horse, and that horse has served me well. I think I'm going to stick with that horse and go to battle. And he had the right attitude, of course. And so as they got into this battle and they began to lose, there was a need for this trio to flee. The younger brother, of course, jumped on Old Faithful. And the three of them made a break for it. And as they rode together, they were all riding together, step by step. They were all moving together in the same direction. They were avoiding the enemy. They were ahead of the enemy. All of a sudden, Old Faithful began to slow down. He began to struggle to keep up. And as they were riding and the enemies behind him, the two were moving at the same pace, but Old Faithful couldn't keep up. And the young boy and his horse began to lag behind. Eventually, the horse ran out of breath, left him behind. And you know what happened in that movie? The enemy caught up with him. The two of them got away. But the one with Old Faithful tragically lost his life. The point is this tonight. Familiarity doesn't always work. What used to work then may not work. What you did in 2024 may not work for you in 2025. I know you want to use the same things, the same equipment, the same passion, the same mindset, the same everything. But I want to let you know that 2025 is a different year. 2025 will come with its own problems. It'll come with its own tragedies. It will come with its own needs. And what you use in 2024, I guarantee you, may not work for you in 2025. Listen to me carefully tonight. It could be outdated. If you always do what you always have done, you'll always be where you've always been. Talk to me, somebody. If you want a new future, you can't hold on to an old familiar past. You can't hold on to old habits. You can't hold on to old patterns and routines and old thinking and old ways and customs to do things. You can't hold on to the same abusive situation if you expect a better life. Talk to me, somebody. You have to keep moving forward. And perhaps maybe moving forward, you may need to change the horse. Hello. I said moving forward, you may need to change the horse. You have to keep moving forward. No matter what the circumstance may look like. No matter what the drama might be. You have to keep moving forward. Don't you dare give up tonight. Don't you dare put it in your mind that I'm going to stop and rest. If you stop and rest tonight, they're going to come and get you. A long time ago, I decided that my future will not be an extension of my past. Oh, my God. I decided that I was not going to take my past into my future. You see, I had a terrible marital breakup. Maybe I was married to the right woman at the wrong time, or maybe it was the right woman at the wrong age. I'm not sure. But I had a terrible past. I married a young lady that she and I couldn't see eye to eye. And man, I ended up in jail for some really stupid behavior. I'll leave it there. And I decided after I came out of that whole situation, I decided, you know what, God? I'm not going to let that old Asif come back into this new life I found in Jesus. You got to hear what I'm talking about tonight. I wasn't going to let my service to Jesus be influenced by my past. I had to make a decision in life to get rid of that past. You see, I couldn't live that same life of a liar, that same life of a cheat, that same life of a dishonest person and come into this new life called being a believer. A lot of people do that, you know. They're not worried about how it looks. They're not worried about that old life. But I promise you, if you really sit down and think about what an old horse will get you into, you won't want that old horse. He's going to make you lose. That old life is going to ruin your new life. Those old ways, those old habits are going to destroy you. I know some of you are holding on to old faithful. I know some of you still want to hold on to your past and move into a better future. It doesn't work that way, friend. It doesn't work that way. I learned a long time ago that I wasn't going to worry or fear anymore the way I used to worry and fear. Because you see, now I'm a new creation and there are new things happening inside of me. I have a new God. I found a new God. And I was going to live a new life based on my new transformation. I wasn't going to bring my past life into my new venture. That would have been a mistake. That would have been a mistake. Could you imagine bringing your old life into your new life? What it looked like? That's like bringing old faithful into your new life. It's just a matter of time before he runs out of steam and you'll get in trouble. The day finally came when Elijah realized that it's time for him to get out of the way. It's time for him to step out of the way and let somebody else step up and lead. When that day come, I'll tell you, it's not today. You got to learn, and you have to watch your life and understand when it's time for transitions. Write it down. The coming of the new year is a time of transition. This is what it's all about. And you have to learn that when God gives you a time of transition, you have to be able to do something to step into it. It's not transition that you do nothing in and doesn't amount to much. You're going to live your old life in the new year. But when you're going to transition from one thing to another, there is a requirement. There is a standard. There is a putting away. There is a breaking away. There is a burning of oxens. Listen to me tonight. The Bible tells us that Elijah went down to Abel-Mehola, where Elisha was plowing the field with the 12 oxen. And the Bible tells us over in verse 21, look at this. Chapter 19, verse 21, the Bible says, he took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out, then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. Before then happen, something has to happen. If you want a different life, you have to give up the old one you have. This is Bible 101. If you want a different life, Uncle Johnny, you have to give up the old one you have. You can't bring the old into the new. The Bible says if you bring old wine into new wineskins, you're going to break the skin. You're going to destroy the new. You can't do it. There's a requirement set out for moving into new things. There's a requirement set out for moving into new relationships, moving into new jobs, moving into new churches. There's a requirement that is required. Hear me tonight. There are things and beliefs and even people you'll have to leave behind if you're going to keep moving forward. The future doesn't come when we hold on to the past. New things don't come unless we burn the old. Hello, somebody. I wonder how many people I'm talking to tonight. You want new stuff, but you don't want to let go of the old stuff. God's brought you into a new relationship, but you're still behaving like you used to behave in the old one. Talk to me, somebody. I'm not talking about leaving behind the things you don't want or no longer have need of. That's easy. I can leave behind an old pair of shoe I no longer wear. That's not what I'm talking about. That's easy. We all do that every year. We buy a new jacket, we give somebody well-deserving of the old one. We got a new pair of shoes. We put the old one to wear outside while we're doing gardening. Talk to me, somebody. You know what I'm saying. That's not what I'm talking about. We are familiar with leaving behind the things we don't want or no longer have a need of. What I'm talking about tonight is leaving behind the things we love, leaving behind the people we care about, leaving behind the places of comfort to step out in faith, to step into the new, to take on new challenges. You got to hear me tonight. Changes can be uncomfortable, but they're necessary. You might be saying to yourself, "Oh, Pastor, I can't. I just got this job." Yeah, but if you don't leave the job, you can't step into the ministry. But Pastor, how am I going to feed myself? Where's your faith? I know that's not the kind of talk you want to hear, but that's how it worked for me. It's either you're going to believe God is calling you. It's either you're going to trust God that he did call you, and you're confident that God called you, and you're going to step out into it, and you're going to burn everything behind, leave it behind. Or you hold on to the past and bring it into the new and ruin both. Hello, somebody. Change can be uncomfortable, but it's necessary. It's tough to make changes. Growth is hard when you have to be pruned, but it's necessary to have a strong tree. Often our past and our comfort can keep us trapped in what I call a stalemate position and robs us of the future God has for us. You can't go where God wants you to go tonight or be what God wants you to be unless you learn to burn some stuff in your life. Are you hearing me tonight? Don't mistake me. I'm not talking about burning bridges. That's different. Burning bridges means you don't value people or relationships. When we burn bridges, it means we have no grace. I'm talking about tonight giving up stuff for what you really want in life. I'm talking about tonight making sacrifices that will take you to the place you really want to be. Do you really want to be great? Do you really want to accomplish something in life? Do you really want ministry? Do you really want a new life? Well, you're going to have to burn some stuff that you've been holding on to that you think is valuable to you. You're going to have to give it up. You're going to have to give it up. That's how the gospel works. You might be asking tonight, Pastor, what is it that you think I have to give up? I'm glad you asked. What is it that I have to let go of? Let me tell you what you got to let go of. Anything that compromises your character, you have to let go of. Write it down. Anything that compromises your character, you have to let go of. I learned a long time ago that Christians don't sell alcohol. How is it that I'm going to sell alcohol, Pastor Tony, and then pray for you to get your kidneys healed? Didn't I cause it? My father died drunk. And I learned a long time ago that some things in life, you have to give it up to save your character. The church hasn't learned this secret yet. We're believers and we're killing the very world that we want to save. It doesn't work that way. No, sir. You have to give up your pride. You cannot compromise your godly character. You'll have to give up your unforgiveness. You cannot compromise your godly character. You'll have to give up your hidden sins. You cannot compromise your walk with God. Burn it at the altar tonight, friend, so you can be who God made you to be, so you can step into the things God has prepared for you. Anything that will stop you from obeying God, get rid of it. Can I say that again? This is good old-fashioned preaching, Chan. Anything that will stop you from becoming a better believer, from serving God the way you should serve God, you need to stop and get rid of it. You need to stop. I'm sorry if you're visiting tonight and you're offended. This is the gospel. And we will not compromise it for anybody. You can't go where God wants you to go holding on to that old life. Holding on to those old offenses and disappointments. You know, there are some believers, they want to live a double life. I'm not talking to anybody here. That's the church up the road. They want to have a life, one foot in the past and one foot in the future. Can I tell you something tonight? We have to learn to let go of the things that don't matter to our future. Write it down. You have to learn to let go of the things that don't matter to your future and hold on to those things tightly that matters to your future. Elijah burnt those oxen and burnt that plow because it didn't matter to his future. Where he was going, he needed a mantle. He didn't need cows. Where he was going, Pastor Tony, he needed an anointing. He didn't need anything else. It was the anointing that paved his way, Daniel. Not money. You young people, let me point at you young people. You've been taught wrong. You cannot have a heart for money and a heart for God. God or nothing. Let God give you the money, but choose God over it. Choose God over it. I know this is tough preaching tonight, but welcome to KICC. You got to make up your mind. You got to make up your mind. Got to make up your mind. When you understand what God wants to do in your life, you have to burn some stuff. You have to burn. You have to burn some stuff, man. You have to burn. You have to give up some stuff. I know it may not be a lot for some of you, but I used to be a DJ. And man, I had thousands of dollars worth of records, thousands of dollars worth of speakers and bass speakers and turntables and mixers, Daniel. And one day I heard the voice of the Lord. He said to me, if you're going to follow me, you got to burn some stuff. Well, I couldn't light the thing on fire in my apartment building. So what I did is I went to the garbage dump and I opened that old canister and I began to dump those things. And as I dumped, I cried. I said, God, you know how much money I spent? And in the moment while I was burning it, I wept. In the moment while I was giving up my past to hold on to a new future, it hurt. It hurt a lot. In that moment when I had to walk away from my friends, when I had to walk away from the bar, when I had to walk away from all the wickedness I loved. I loved it. Don't high five me, but I just loved it. Okay. In that moment when it hurt, Pastor Tony, it hurt. Ow. But you know what? I have a pulpit today that I will not compromise because I know what I burnt to get here. It's not going to be compromised. It's holy. I had to burn some stuff to get here. Hear me here tonight as I come closer to the end. I didn't say the end. I said closer. Hallelujah. You can't allow certain things to remain in your life and expect a different result. I think it was Einstein that says, you can't do what you used to do and expect a different outcome. You can't do what you used to do and expect a different 2025. You can't be unequally yoked in 2024 and want Jesus in 2025. You have to break the yoke. Everybody say, break the yoke. watch this. You're going to have to burn the ox. You're going to have to burn that lover of yours. You're going to have to burn the thing that you're so attracted to. You got to hear me. Samson had a problem tonight. Samson was called to deliver Israel, but you know what he did? Here he was. He was called to fight against the Philistines. And you know what that sucker did? And I call him a sucker. You know why? You know what he did? The very people he was called to deliver, he got hooked up with one of them. He was called to deliver the Philistines, and he got hooked up with a Philistine woman. Name? Delilah. Hear my heart. Hear my heart tonight. He was in bed with the same people he's supposed to destroy. Hello? He was drinking with the same woman he was supposed to destroy. He was sleeping on the lap with the same woman he was supposed to be a witness to. And you know what she eventually did? She destroyed him. That's why it's so important to burn your past. Because if you don't burn it and you keep it alive, it's going to come and get you. If you let it stay, it's going to come back. As long as it's alive, it'll come for you. You got to hear me. There's something about the devil. As long as he's alive, if you don't put him under your feet, if you don't kill him, if you don't kill that sin, if you don't kill that drinking, if you don't kill that pornography, if you don't kill that lying spirit, if you don't kill that spirit of divorce, it will come back to get you. Ruin your future. When God gives you an opportunity to step into a new future, he wants you to make some changes. He wants you to make some changes as you chase it. What's my time, Simi? 10 minutes. I can do this in 10. Everybody pray for the pastor right now. Hallelujah. You might be thinking that achieving the call or achieving a goal is what God is after. But let me stop you here tonight. It's not about reaching a goal or a destination, but it's about becoming the person God wants you to be. Let me share a little bit of my experience as I end. The biggest part of being a pastor, Jediah, is not about pastoring. The biggest part about being a pastor is becoming more like Jesus. Before you get to the place of pastoring, God has to do something in your life. He has to change some stuff in your life. Because if he takes you to the place of blessing, and you're still a pauper, you're going to waste the blessing. That's why the Bible says a pauper should never become a king. In other words, a person who has weaknesses and flaws and certain things. I'm not saying I don't have any. But there are certain types of things that God has to heal inside of me to give me the job of a pastor. Because when he puts me in the position, he doesn't want me to quit. He wants me to stay there to lead his sheep. God doesn't want to build a church on a quitter. God wants to build a church on somebody he can put there for a lifetime. You hear me here tonight. God doesn't want to build a marriage on a quitter. Some of you, you don't even investigate the people before you marry them. I love your buttocks. Mega Maria. Listen to me carefully. God doesn't want you to have children unless you can manage them so you won't abandon them. He doesn't want you to reach out. And reach your destination. Before you are equipped to sustain yourself in that place. Here is my point. You ever heard the saying, bit off more than you can chew? You don't have to bite off more than you can chew. You have to learn to chew. That's what God wants to teach you tonight. I've seen a lot of this stuff. Without inner transformation, we wouldn't have the strength, the wisdom, or the humility to sustain us in the places he's entrusted us. And let me say this in closing. When Elijah burned that cart and burned those oxen, we saw what that man was made of. No one asked him to do it. He did it because he knew the price to sustain what God has entrusted him with. Let me say it again. He knew the price to sustain what God has entrusted him with. I want to speak to all you young people that like women, and you young women that like men. Do you understand the price to sustain a marriage? It's the same to sustain a ministry. That's why some of you can't get to ministry yet, because you don't understand the price to sustain a relationship. There are prices to be paid, things to be burned, things to be given up, things that you love, things that you care about for you to get to the next level. Elijah was a smart man. Elisha, I should say, forgive me. Elisha understood that what God was entrusting into his hand. So he said, I'm not going to have anything in my life that's going to pull me out of that. I'm going to burn it. I'm going to burn the black book. Oops, did I say that? I'm going to burn anything that is in my life that will pull me away from my victory in 2025. I've had enough of 2024. How many of you have had enough of 2024? I've had enough of it. Then let me tell you what you got to do in 2024 before 2025 reaches. You got to figure out what in heaven's name you're going to burn. You're going to leave at this altar and let the fire of God consume it so that you can have a better 2025. You cannot take your past into your future because you're going to ruin it. You're going to ruin it. So tonight I'm asking you to stand with me. I'm asking you tonight, before the clock strikes 12 o'clock, for you to take a minute and reflect in your heart the things that you need to put away so that you don't have a miserable 2025. Some of the things you may need to put away is going to hurt. Growth is never easy. Pruning for betterment is never easy. But I promise you, when you burn it, when you put it away, when you kill it tonight, you don't have to look back and wonder if that same old snake is going to bite you in 2025. Because tonight you're going to bury it. Tonight you're going to burn it. Tonight you're going to give it up. Tonight you're going to tell the Lord, I've had enough of this spirit. I've had enough of this behavior. I've had enough of this mindset. I've had enough of this wicked living. I've had enough of this pornography. I've had enough of cheating. I've had enough of lying. I've had enough of robbing the government. I've had enough. I want the blessing of the Lord to come upon me on 2025. Listen to me tonight. You gotta stop for a minute and ask yourself the question, do I want a better 2025 or do I want to repeat? If you want to repeat, stay in your seat. But if you want a better 2025, Would you come and gather all around this place tonight with me? Simeon, would you get ready, please? Would you come and gather all around here with me tonight? Man, look at this soldier. If you want a better 2025, come and gather around and let the Holy Ghost do something powerful in this place. Let the Holy Spirit do something in your life. And I want you to close your eyes and I want you to talk to God for a minute and you tell God, God, tonight I'm going to give this up for you. God, tonight I'm going to put away this for you. God, tonight I'm throwing this out. God, I'm done with this life. I'm done with this person. I'm done with these relationships. I'm done with drinking. I'm done with smoking. I'm tired of cussing my wife. I can't let these things ruin my marriage. I can't let these things ruin my children. I can't let these things ruin my future. I can't. You have to burn it or it will ruin your life. You cannot bring your past into the future. You have to burn it for it to work. You have to burn it. You are compromising your future if you drag the past into it. The Bible says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Don't bring anything into 2025. Simeon, would you give me some music for a minute? I want you to talk to God. Settle it in your heart tonight what you got to let down and burn at this altar. Tell God, no more, enough is enough. I'm not repeating my 2024. You've got 1 minute. Oh, you got less than 1 minute. My clock is slow. How much? 59 seconds, guys. Come on, look up at that clock. We're going to get back to prayer in a minute. Would you put your hands up all over this house, please? Come on. Come on. Come on. Would you count with me? Come on, move out of the way, Christy. We can't see the number. Come on. 33. 32. Come on. 31. 29. 28, come on, raise your voice. 26, 25, 24, 23, 22, 21, 20, 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year! Woo! Come on, make some noise. Make some noise. Listen to me 1 minute. 1 minute. I need you to bow your head. I need you to bow your head. And I need to pray for you. Father, I thank you right now that as we step into 2025, that this will be the best year of our entire lives. Our past will not affect our future. We leave our past at this altar, and tonight we will leave this place believing that our future is paved with blessing, favor, and greatness. Tonight, Lord, I thank you for every family, for every couple, for every child that is here. I pray you'll bless them, keep them in perfect health in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Now you can hug each other. Come on, hug each other and love each other. God bless you.